The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 1, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 19th, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
Sri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Dvari, at the source of Dhinadhyā, the celestial river Ganges, Rishabha, the best of the Kurus, Kurunam, of the Kurus, Maitreyam, unto Maitreya, Asinam, sitting, Agodabadham, of unfathomed knowledge, Chata, Vidura, Upashritya, having approached nearer, Achyuta, the infallible Lord, Bhava, character, Siddha, perfect, Prapachcha, inquired, Saushilya, gentleness, Guna, Abhitripta, satisfied in transcendental qualities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami said, Vidura, the best amongst the Kuru dynasty, who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges River, Hardwar, where Maitreya, the great fathomless learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. Purport. Vidura was already perfect due to his unalloyed devotion to the infallible Lord. The Lord and the living entities are all qualitatively the same by nature, but the Lord is quantitatively much greater than any individual living entity. He is ever infallible, whereas the living entities are prone to fall under the illusory energy. Vidura had already surpassed the fallible nature of the living entity in conditional life due to his being achyuta bhav, or legitimately absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. This stage of life is called achyuta bhava siddha, or perfection by dint of devotional service. Anyone, therefore, who is absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all admirable qualities. The learned sage Maitreya was sitting in a solitary place on the bank of the Ganges at Hardwar. And Vidura, who was a perfect devotee of the Lord and possessed all good transcendental qualities, approached him for inquiry.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine.
So Maitreya here is being described as the great fathomless learned sage. In the Sanskrit, it is Agodha Buddham, of unfathomed knowledge. So, this unfathomed, fathom means, refers to deepness. So, if someone is fathomless, this means that they have unlimited depth to their Krishna consciousness. Such a person who has unlimited depth in their Krishna consciousness is the best of all possible association that we can have. Because that person who has no bottom to his Krishna consciousness, that goes on unlimitedly deeper and deeper and deeper, that person can take us deeper and deeper without end, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. The sublime mellows of Krishna consciousness are ever increasing. The deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. So do you want to skim the surface of the ocean? Or do you want to deep sea dive into the innermost depths of the ocean of bhakti? This is why a spiritual master is required. If you try to do it on your own, you'll just be skimming the surface. But the bona fide spiritual master, he takes us deeper and deeper and deeper with no end to that depth. We had such a spiritual master. We have such a spiritual master. I've had the greatest good fortune to have gotten the shelter of such a bona fide spiritual master, fathomless sage. His divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astitarajadashishimadesi Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And although my Krishna consciousness is not very deep, I have gotten the connection with that great fathomless sage by whose mercy I can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the sublime ocean of Krishna bhakti. Sometimes in the ocean we see there's a huge hurricane blowing, you see. Especially in the Gulf of Mexico, these big hurricanes come. And the water is very, very turbulent. Very, very turbulent water on the surface of the ocean. But as you go deeper, deeper, deeper into that ocean, it becomes calmer and calmer and calmer. Until finally, you go deep enough, you don't experience the hurricane at all. You're completely beyond the influence of that hurricane. Is it? So the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, there's so much turbulence of the three modes of material nature because we're still on the surface of that ocean of bhakti. But the deeper you go, you see, the influence of the three modes begin to fade away. Less influence, less influence, less influence. Until gradually the influence of the modes of nature goes down to 1%, 1/10%, 100%, 1,000%, 1/10,000%, 100,000%, 1,000,000%. And finally, when you reach zero influence, then you've achieved Shuddha Bhakti. So the deeper you go, you see, the purer you become. So Someone that's such a great personality as Srila Prabhupada. Fathomless sage, you see. We take advantage of that mercy of Srila Prabhupada. There's no limit to how deep we can go into this sublime ocean of Krishna Bhakti. So Mathura was very, very intelligent, even though he was a pure devotee. The pure devotees, they don't become aloof. The pure devotees, they're very eager to associate with sages, you see. Not that they become like the Mayavadis, you know. Just when they become impersonal. The Vaishnavas, the advanced Vaishnavas, become more desirous of association. You say, why do they need it? They're self-realized. Well, because they are self-realized, they have even more desire for the association of great sages. So my dear Prabhus, my dear Matajis, please don't cheat yourself. Remaining a superficial devotee, only skimming the surface of the ocean of bhakti. Take advantage of advanced association. Take shelter of advanced association and go deeper and deeper and deeper into the sublime mellows of Krishna consciousness. In that sublime ocean of Krishna bhakti, you will find that everything is perfect. Everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. Everything is sublime. It's only due to our misidentification with matter that we experience something the opposite. Some quagmire-ish, hellish, nightmarish, puzzling, dilemma-ish condition. You see, it is only due to bodily consciousness. So kindly, you kick out that bodily consciousness. Kick out any consciousness of being that body from your heart right now. Just kick it out. That's not you. You're not that material body. Nor are you even the subtle mind, which is also a covering of the actual Atma, the soul. So go beyond your mind. Go beyond your body, go beyond your mind, go beyond even your intelligence, which is very close to the soul. Just like these two fingers are packed together, you see. The intelligence and the soul, they're very close. But they're still different. Even your intelligence is not you. You're the actual eternal being, one of the eternal associates of Krishna and his divine leelas in the spiritual world, either in Golok or in one of the Vaikuntha realms. You have an eternal rasa, an eternal relationship with Krishna. So please, 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 do not cheat yourself by going after sense gratification. You should have one desire, and one desire only, and that is to achieve Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. Ahaitaki apratiyata yadma supersediti. Only by unmotivated, which means completely pure, no material motives, and uninterrupted, that means 24/7. Only by unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service does the self become satisfied. If you take any other position, that I will do devotional service to get money, I will do devotional service to get a wife, I will do devotional service to get a husband, I will do the devotional service to become famous. If you have any other kind of motive up your sleeve, you think, you won't be satisfied. Krishna is very expert to see what your motives are. If you have some ulterior motive for coming to Krishna consciousness, Krishna immediately can say, you can't fool Krishna. You see, you cannot fool Krishna. He will see, oh, they have ulterior motive. You won't get prema bhakti if you have ulterior motive. You see. So you should say, okay, here I am. I'm full of all these ulterior motives. Now, Krishna, please help me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one clears out all this dirt of ulterior motives from the heart. Washes it away. It's like we take our daily bath. Once, twice, thrice, we bathe. That is our standard. Once or twice. Brahmins must at least bathe twice a day. Or three times if possible. Although we bathe the body two or three times a day. Now we must also bathe the consciousness. That mind, that intellect must also become cleansed of all the dirt, all the influence of the modes of nature. Don't let Rajagun, Tamagun, Sattvagun influence your thinking or influence your intelligence. You should base your intelligence strictly on the words of your spiritual master and the words of the great acharyas, in the words of the scriptures. That's on what you should base your intelligence, which is your analytical self, your analytical ability. You must always analyze. This is called Shastra Chaksus. One who analyzes everything according to scripture, not his own mental whims. So in this way, you purify your intelligence by becoming Shastra Chaksus. And then with that spiritual vision, by seeing through the eyes of scripture, you can see clearly when your mind is on the track and when your mind is off the track. And when it is off the track, you bring it back on the track. And this way, your intelligence is fixed, your mind is fixed, and then you monitor your speaking also. Am I speaking something according to scripture? Or am I speaking according to my mental speculation? I think. What is the value of your I think? Your I think has gotten you one material body after another material body after another material body. So give up this I think business. I know because this I have heard from Guru. This I have heard from Acharyas. This I have heard from scripture. Therefore, I know it is true. This I think business will keep you entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Give up this I think business. What is the value of your thinking? It is contaminated by the modes of nature. So, when your intelligence is properly fixed, when your mind is properly fixed, your words will become proper and your actions will become proper. Vachage macha vegam manaso krodha vegam etandayanyo vishaheta dira savam apimam pripishim shishishat shisham dhoti. This way. By fixing your mind always in Krishna consciousness, by fixing your words always in Krishna consciousness, you see, by only using anger for chastising the atheists, keeping your tongue always fixed by only taking prasadam, and that way your belly will also be naturally fixed. And when your tongue and belly are regulated nicely, your genitals will not agitate you anymore. Is it? If your mind and belly are unregulated, you'll be agitated by your genitals for sex pleasure. But if you keep your mind, your tongue and your belly controlled, and your mind, your words, anger controlled, the genitals will naturally be controlled. They will not be agitated for sex pleasure. So in this way, keep yourself very calm and peaceful, like these sages here, Maitreya and Vidura. Just imagine the caliber of the mentality of these two sages sitting there at the mouth of the Ganges River in the Himalayan mountains. If you could actually go there right now and just sit there and behold their conversation, what kind of mood? Just imagine how sublime it was 5,000 years ago at the mouth of the Ganges. sitting there with these two great sages, hearing their conversation. Just imagine the sublime mellows of bhakti just oozing out like ripples of waves from their divine presences. You see? So you may say, well, I missed that opportunity, but you know what? It's still there, that opportunity. Just by hearing, you can actually go there and be in the presence of these great sages. Just by hearing. And Krishna consciousness is transcendental to time and space. If you go deep enough, you will find that you can be anywhere in any of these divine pastimes. Relishing the full mellows of any of these divine leelas, when your heart becomes completely pure, there's no impediments anymore of time and space. So in this way, try to understand what is the science of Krishna consciousness and take it very seriously. If you do so, we can absolutely, totally, 100% guarantee you that you will taste the sweetest bliss at every minute, and you'll be able to do the highest good for all the suffering living entities of this world by injecting within them the seed of Krishna Prem. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Hare Krishna Das. Neophyte devotees find difficulty in controlling his mind. Is because he voluntarily allows unwanted thoughts to enter his mind? Yes, you are embracing them. You're embracing these thoughts, thinking they're very nice. There's one story in this connection. One disciple, he passed Guru Maharaj, he says, Guru Maharaj, Maya will not let go of me. What can I do? I'm trapped. Maya won't let go of me. What to do? So then Guru Maharaj got up, he went over to a tree. And he hugged the tree very tightly. He said, please let go of me. So you may say, Maya won't let go of me, but actually you are holding tightly onto Maya. You understand? It is you who are tightly holding onto Maya. Not that Maya is holding on to you, you are holding on to Maya. You see? So you give up holding Maya, you grab a hold of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, you see. That's where you should grab lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Not Maya. Any other questions? Something right? Yes?
Gurudev, when we feel the satisfaction coming from our devotional service, and we reach a place where we feel very satisfied to just follow the instructions and depend on the instructions of the spiritual master in that way, but then we are challenged by opposing thoughts that come from other people, like
other devotees,
like in the theme of wanting to ask, yeah, but what are you doing, or what are you planning, and all the details of what you are doing, but you are just...
They want to lord it over you. It sounds like they want to lord it over you. Actually, you're the property of your spiritual master. Not that you're their property. They can engage you, they can have you lead. No, don't do this, don't do that. Sometimes neophyte devotees have a lording it over propensity. They want to reroute you. It's called rerouting. You're being engaged by your spiritual master in the path of pure bhakti, but they have it at a lording over desire. They want to reroute you and get you under their program, under their agenda. You see.
Isn't it depends on who is asking?
If it's in the case of someone who's representing the spiritual master, like Guru Mataji, you see, then that's extra mercy. That's double-barreled mercy. You see.
From whom this sort of question comes? Some authorities or what?
A friend.
Male, female?
Female.
My disciple? Okay. Somebody is taking the process too casually and not seriously enough. It's something, a disease called diarrhea of the mouth. Some people like to talk. You know. They have loose character. And there are many devotees in our movement we have many neophytes who have loose characters. Even some of the devotees are breaking the principles knowingly. So one has to be careful where you take shelter and guidance from. And I look back at my own devotional career. I've been certainly gotten advice from many different devotees. But that you should take that advice that reinforces your relationship with your spiritual master. That's what you should accept. Any advice that reinforces your relationship with the guru, yes. Anything that makes you doubtful of your relationship with your spiritual master, that you should reject. Very simple. It's like you have a razor. And that razor, you cut away anything which discourages you in your relationship with your spiritual master. Immediately cut it away. Sometimes it happens. It's like a devotee maybe taken shelter of a guru and their heart getting ready for initiation. And somebody thinks, well, I'd like them to be a disciple of my guru. You see? And they try to reroute you to become a disciple of their guru. That's very sinful. That's a very sinful thing to do then. If someone has given their heart, I would like to be a disciple, we should give them all encouragement. Just like I went to Jayapataka Swami's Vyas Puja the other day to give all encouragement to his disciples and their relationship with him. Not thinking, well, why then become my disciple? No. The principle is Guru Tattva. One has to take charge of a bona fide guru. So I'm going to give them all encouragement to have full faith in their spiritual master, Jayapataka Swami. See, that's proper mood. It should be there in ISKCON. But unfortunately, it's not often the mood. We have these neophyte devotees trying to reroute you to become disciples of their guru. It's just politics. It's disgusting. So we have to be in the mood of purely preaching Krishna conscious philosophy. That's how our movement becomes strong. Otherwise, as long as it's this political thing, it's lording it over mood, our movement will never be successful in executing its mission of Krishnizing the whole world. We have to kick out all this political consciousness from ISKCON and have just pure bhakti mood. That's how we'll take over the world and very quickly. Does that help a little bit?
Very much so.
Okay.
Can I ask just a couple of
Yeah.
What is the proper mood to address that on various levels of authority, friendship? What, just addressing that rerouting mentality in a proper mood in general?
Well, you could just ignore it, or you could defeat it. If you're not in a position to defeat it and show them the fallacy of what they're doing, you just better just ignore it. But if you're powerful enough, you can say, Prabhu, you shouldn't be doing this. You can, you know, depends on your own ability as a preacher and your what kind of relationship you have with that person. The best thing is that you can defeat their nonsense philosophy. That's the best thing. But if you can do that, then better just to avoid it. So either avoid it or defeat it according to your own abilities. Next.
Sometimes they do develop the relationship just to have an illicit association also. Matajis, male devotees, or there's a spiral kind of things. Just they do develop a relationship for illicit acts.
Yeah. There are predators in our movement taking advantage. To be careful.
Because everybody is coming from a very bad background. One has to be very careful who we associate and what are the motives here.
Yeah. Yes.
When we choose the spiritual master, it's like it's so important because it's eternally, like he saves you, like you're in the shelter eternally beyond this conditions, body.
What does she say?
Like, if when we choose the spiritual master, he is like eternally saving us, not just in this body, but beyond this, right?
Yeah.
But like for example, sometimes. Like inside of my heart, I feel like who I feel attracted to. But so many devotees tell me, no, it's too early because I'm just 6 months in Krishna consciousness. And they say, no, you're not able to say this is your spiritual master.
That's like, bogus. Even in the beginning, somebody can feel like that. Here is my spiritual master, and then they practice on the instruction.
For example, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He was invited by one friend of his, Narendranath Malak. There's a great sadhu visiting Calcutta from Mayapur. You must come and hear him. So Prabhupada, his father used to invite sadhus every day to feed them, but many of them are just bogus beggars dressing up as sadhus to get some money. He said, oh yes, I know these sadhus. You're not interested to hear another one of these sadhus. He said, no, this is a genuine sadhu. You must come. So he said, practically he dragged me. So Prabhupada went there in the rooftop in Ultadanga, the neighborhood in Calcutta. He went in the rooftop there and he sat down. He came in, he sat down just as a guest. And he immediately was given instruction. You should spread this message of Krishna. And, you know, he was given an order. He's just a guest. He argued against it. But then he was defeated by the arguments of Bhaktisiddhanta. So within 15 or 20 minutes, he immediately, within his heart, took shelter of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He said, practically, he initiated me. So how long did it take Prabhupada to take shelter? About 15 minutes. And he took shelter of his spiritual master. So, take at least 15 minutes. At least 15 minutes you should take.
And this is why they are giving in seminars also, that the spiritual master, one cannot choose the spiritual master right in the beginning. But if somebody has a feeling, this is my spiritual master, why should deny?
Some of our...
This is the reason, it is why should not speak about one's spiritual master. That's they are teaching us. So why should not speak about spiritual master?
Some of our laws are a little silly because Prabhupada didn't follow the laws of ISKCON. Prabhupada took shelter immediately. Well, they say, well, Debbie, remember, I'm giving the class, okay?
I'm just pointing at
it. Okay. So, he didn't follow Papa didn't follow the rules of ISKCON. He took shelter immediately. As soon as he was defeated by Guru Maharaj, he thought, oh, I have met such a great saintly person. And he constantly meditated on him as his spiritual master from that moment on. Some of the laws of ISKCON are silly. They don't always apply in all circumstances.
I feel this is my spiritual master, they are discouraging her.
You got to keep some of these things confidential in your heart. Because everybody wants to, this rerouting mentality is there. Everybody wants to solicit a man. Actually, it's not wrong in one sense, because it's stated by Prabhupada, is a duty of disciples to bring candidates to their spiritual master. So it's a natural sentiment. You can't blame them. But at the same time, they have to be, there has to be a proper balance. And usually it's not properly balanced at ISKCON nowadays. So if you've actually, if one has that One actually understands, yes, now I have found my spiritual master. This is a person who is purely representing Krishna. This is a person who can purely connect me with Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. If you find such a person and you feel like, you really feel like giving your heart to that person, then go ahead. Go for it. Krishna is inspiring you from within your heart. But if you're not ready, then that's okay too. It's your own heart. Not for someone else to dictate you that you should take this spiritual master or not take this spiritual master. That is your own personal business. And whenever you're ready to accept him in your heart, if you want to do it now or you want to do it in 10 years from now, it's up to you. It's your own heart. But remember that that death can come at any minute. So we should be very keen, actually, to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and get initiated as soon as possible. So there's a question from, let's see here. Yeah, from Ladini Devi Dasi in China. On a Ekadasi day or festival day, fasting is comfortable. When allowed to eat, feel sleepy, lazy, but cannot control the tongue. She's saying that when she eats, she feels sleepy and lazy?
No, she's saying that on fasting day, it is very comfortable to fast. But the days when you are eating, you cannot control your eating, but at the same time, you're feeling sleepy and want to eat more.
One has to learn how to eat a regulated amount of prasadam. If one gets carried away by the tongue, then one can get sick or just end up sleeping the whole day because you overate and you know, you're just wiped out. So one has to learn how to eat a balanced amount of prasadam. You take what you need to energize you for a day of Krishna conscious activities. You're charging your batteries, what you're doing. By taking prasadam, you're charging your batteries, spiritually and materially. So you take what you can easily digest. I remember there was a lot of anxiety in the early days of ISKCON when Prabhupada introduced the idea of eating less, because in the beginning he said, eat more, eat more, eat more. In fact, one boy, he was taking 20 chapatis. 20 chapatis he was taking. And Prabhupada was personally providing him. He would take four at each go. Four more, and this way 20 he would take. And then that was the early days of 26 Second Avenue. And then Prabhupada said, oh, they should restrict their eating. So one boy, my godbrother, Umapati Prabhu, he became disturbed. Oh no, Swamiji was encouraging us to eat as much as we want. Now he's encouraging us to restrict our eating. So he said, Swamiji, before you told us to eat as much as we want, now you're telling us to eat, to restrict our eating. Prabhupada said, you didn't have any trouble following the first instruction. So I remember when I joined, there was some anxiety about this, because Prabhupada in his purports was saying, fill your belly halfway with prasadam, 25% with water and 25% air. I mean, oh, wow. You can't even fill your belly with prasadam anymore. You've got to leave an empty space for air now. And so there's a lot of anxiety about how much to take. So in Boston, there was some question and answer session about this. And Prabhupada was very kind. He said, if you want more prasadam, I'm your spiritual master. It is my duty to provide it for you. So Prabhupada was, from his side, if you want more, I will give you. At the same time, you should have the intelligence to know what's good for you, what you can handle properly. So when the spiritual master, if he's serving you prasadam, he'll keep giving you. Would you like more? Would you like more? You see? I remember even my godbrothers, I was amazed one time by Giriraj Maharaj. I was a young brahmachari visiting our Bombay temple. I was sitting in the evening. I must have come late in the day, and I went to the prasadam room in the evening. There was nobody in there, really. It was just me and maybe a few others. And then I couldn't believe it. Giriraj Maharaj came in. He was serving prasadam. And he said, He said, in a very sweet voice, he said, he was asking, would you like something more? Can I serve you something more? In a very sweet voice. So this is the actual mood of the Vaishnavas. They want to serve you more. Would you like some more? Would you like some more? Would you like some more? But then you have to actually know, what's my limit? You see, once you learn what is on one's own limit. Okay, so let's see. Any other thing? Yes.
Especially when we are in Krishna consciousness, like we learn so many new things. We study like spiritual lives, spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. But I realized that so many devotees, like the association is so important because we get more knowledge. But so many devotees sometimes say different things. And they say, oh no, who told you this? This is not right. Or, you know, they say different things. So how do you, especially in the beginning, it's very difficult.
This is the same anxiety that I had when I first joined. Exactly the same anxiety. Because one devotee would say this, another devotee would say that. You know, who's telling the truth? You know? And an interesting thing, a letter came out from Prabhupada. A quote came out, it was sent to all the temples. This is a quote from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, there are so many things in ISKCON, so many false things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada acknowledged this was going on in our movement. So many false things. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. So then how do you actually know? Well, as what I did as a young brahmachari is I studied like anything. I have notebooks, a whole stack. I would take notes. When I first joined, there was no tape ministry. Of course, now it's MP3, but in the beginning they started cassette tapes. That was the old media of the day. Cassette tapes were introduced just after ISKCON got going. In the very beginning, it was only reel-to-reel tapes. That was the only way there was no smartphones, there was no MP3. It was just reel-to-reel tapes. So those are very hard to come by. You had to get a big machine and a big reel. But then cassette tapes were introduced, and they became a big thing. So there was the Bhaktivedanta tape ministry, which began in Los Angeles. And they were sending out, because you could subscribe to the Bhaktivedanta tape ministry. And every week you get a package of all the latest lectures, conversations, morning walks. But where's the time to hear all this stuff, you see? You got time to cook. Got to cook the offering. You got to go out for preaching. Where's the time to sit and hear all these tapes? But I had a brilliant idea. I said, I'm just going to skip breakfast every day. And during breakfast, I went to the Brahmacharya Ashram and I sat down with a cassette player and a notebook and I was taking notes. I would stop, I'd play it, rewind it, and I would get exact quotes. I have notebook after notebook of exact quotes from Prabhupada about this, that, and so many things. So that's how I dealt with it. I went straight to the source. I studied like anything. Prabhupada's books, I read every one of his books cover to cover, and I listened lecture after lecture and morning walk conversation. I studied the letters. I did so many things, studying all of Prabhupada's teachings. I went through all the letter books. Actually, we had in the beginning, there was no Veda base, but they published the letter books in like 5 volumes. I read through the entire volumes of all the Prabhupada's letters and I made notes on specific points. So that's how I dealt with it, by studying, by studying, by studying, by studying, by studying, by studying. That's how I then. Someone tells me something, I know whether it's bona fide or not. You see, now I know. And if I don't know, I got the Veda base now to help me. If I hear something, I look it up. Just like a god brother asked me the other day, he said he thought there was something wrong in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I said, Prabhu, I'll look it up. And I looked it up and I found that he was wrong. And I told him, the next day I met him in the temple, I told him, what was the proper understanding of it? He didn't understand that particular verse. He misunderstood it. Thought there was a mistake in the book. And I did some studying. I found out the answer. And the next day in the temple, I told him the answer. So in this way, the books are the basis, you see. Don't base your Krishna consciousness on hearsay.
You base it in the books. So in the beginning, I was in anxiety even to hear the classes. I'd sit there, well, is this bona fide or is it not? I'd hear the classes, you know. But as I studied more, I could say, oh, yes, they're preaching very much Prabhupada's teachings purely. So in this way, you have to study. You have a skeptical nature, that's all right. So use your skeptical nature by becoming very studious, very studious, I mean to say, and actually learning what are the actual teachings of Prabhupada so you can discern this is bona fide and this is not. That will make you a powerful preacher also. It will make you solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness and make you a powerful preacher also to guide others on the pathway. Okay? Okay, let's see here. Our time is up. We'll do this one last question on the internet and that'll be it. How to reach that uninterrupted, unmeted devotional service immediately? Well, it'd be nice, wouldn't it, if we could just become a pure devotee like that, just flip a switch, pure bhakti. Generally, it's a gradual process. There are cases where people achieved it immediately, as Katbanga Maharaj got it instantly. But I can guarantee you this, if you're striving it every minute to achieve it, if I want pure bhakti instantly and I'm striving it every instant that I want to come to pure bhakti, that'll definitely accelerate the process, I guarantee you. You think, well, poco, they say in Spanish, poco, poco, poco a poco, you know, little by little by little. You see. You think, well, there's no rush, you know. I'll become a devotee, pure devotee, one of these days. Well, it can take you a long time if you have that. You should have this sense of urgency. I must become a pure devotee of Krishna ASAP. At this very minute, I'm begging Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please bring me into pure bhakti right now, my Lord. Please. If you're pleading with Krishna, begging for pure bhakti every time you chant your japa and all your thoughts and prayers throughout the day, I guarantee you it will accelerate it like anything. Instead of 500 years or 500 lifetimes, you may make it in 50 years, you see, or 5 years, or 5 months, or 5 days, or 5 hours, or 5 minutes, or 5 seconds. You see? Strive for pure bhakti at every minute, and it will accelerate the process like anything. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very much for tuning in to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, especially this wonderful meeting here of Vidura and the great fathomless sage Maitreya at the mouth of the Ganges River in the Himalayan mountains. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi.